Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. you were listening to William McDowell. I give you all of me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many have that testimony today? Hallelujah, that you are giving God everything, withholding nothing. Glory to God, withholding nothing. What are you saying, Sister Benoit? I won't withhold my love. I won't withhold my finances. I won't withhold, glory to God. I won't withhold those good things that you have deposited in me. I will not withhold anything from you. My children, my grandchildren, my parents, my sisters, my brothers, I'm not withholding any of that from you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Jesus, I thank you today. Glory to God. I give glory to God. I honor him today. Amen. Amen. Truly, the Lord is great, and he's greatly to be praised. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't praise him enough for all of his goodness. Amen. For everything that he's done in my life, through my life, by my life, and for my life, I give him praise for that today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Got some disturbing news, very sad news earlier this morning, that I had lost one of my dear cousins, amen, out of Lexington, Kentucky, Lois Evangelist, System Pastor Lois Boateng, amen, by way of Montgomery, Alabama. Many of you all know that my cousin, Prophetess Theodora Glover, and also my other cousin, Pastor Jacqueline McLemore, who I'm very close to. That was Pastor Jacqueline McLemore's sister, and it was also Prophetess Theodora Glover's aunt, amen, and my cousin, amen. So I'm asking you all to remember my family in your prayer, remember the Glover family, remember the Boateng family, amen. She has a son and a daughter. They are young adults, amen, a daughter-in-law, hallelujah, and a husband that she left, hallelujah, and many siblings and other saints of God and extended family members that are yet in the earth. So pray for that family. Amen, amen. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. I don't see anybody on the line as of yet but myself. Nevertheless, amen, I feel like the Lord has given me something to speak to the people of God. I felt like answering because my heart, again, is heavy. But I've been hearing the Lord speak something in my spirit, amen, and I just want to share that with you all on today, amen, amen, amen. So, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this afternoon, God. We just want to tell you thank you, hallelujah. We want to, God, hallelujah, tell you how much we love you. Oh, God, we ask you to continue to touch the bereaved family of Mother Cannon, God. And even now, my family, the Boateng family and the Glover family, God, I'm asking you to go to Montgomery, Alabama right now, God. And those that have gathered there, hallelujah, to pay tribute and pay their last respect to our dear sister, amen, our dear cousin in the Lord, amen, Lois Boateng, God. We asking you, Lord God, to bless them, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And those that are going to be traveling this week and next week, making it to Montgomery, Alabama, amen, for the homegoing celebration of this beautiful woman of God, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, a woman of virtue. Ah, God, a woman of integrity. Amen. A woman of character. A woman that loved the Lord. Amen. Amen. We thank God for you this afternoon. Amen. We thank God for all of our speakers. We want to thank you all that have really prayed around the clock for our dear brother, the Honorable Bishop Jesse E. Grant, that was hospitalized this week. God, I got a victory report, amen, a praise report that all is well, amen. So we thank God for that this afternoon. Glory to God. We thank God. We thank God. We thank God. Truly, can't nobody do it. Excuse me, I'd had to take a pause for a minute. Had some family members coming in. Nevertheless, we're going to go before the throne of grace. God, as we said before, we just thank you, God. We appreciate you, God. Oh, God, we thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, for every good and perfect gift come from you, God. We thank you. We bless you. We honor you today, God. Hallelujah. We thank you for another opportunity to just lift up our voices and give you some praise. Another opportunity to tell you how great you are. Another opportunity, Lord, to tell you how much we love you. Hallelujah. Truly, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, we don't know where we would be at this evening. Hallelujah. But we thank you, God, and we give you glory and we give you praise. Now, God, we asking you, Lord God, hallelujah, to use your handmaiden this evening, God. Oh, let us speak a word that would encourage, that would uplift, that would build somebody up, amen, that would enrich their life, God, and empower them to pursue their destiny in Christ Jesus. So, oh, God, we're thankful today, God. Hallelujah. We thank you for your mercies are renewed every morning, God. We thank you, Lord God. Because we won't let nothing separate us from you, God. And anything, God, that you find in us this evening, God, that's not like you, God, that's not pleasing to you, God, we asking you to do an incision and remove it, God. Take it out, God. We're here to please you, God. That is our purpose. That is our goal, and we thank you, and we praise you, and we magnify you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Just glory to God. So we bless the Lord for you all tuning in today. Amen. And we're not going to hold you long. Amen. Again, I want you to remember my family in your prayer. I lost a dear cousin of mine, and our hearts is heavy. But I thought about canceling the broadcast today, but I had something in my spirit that the Lord had been speaking in my heart. So I say, Lord, give me strength to press forward on today. So remember Prophetess Glover's family. Amen. That's my cousin, Pastor Jackie. That's Pastor Jacqueline McLemore out of Montgomery, Alabama. This is her sister that we lost. Amen. Lois Boateng. So we want you to remember the Boateng family and also the Glover family. Amen. I'm not going to hold you long. I'm just going to speak what the Lord has placed in my spirit. Amen. Amen. So we want to just invite your attention for a short space of time to Romans chapter 8, amen, and this is what the Lord put in my spirit, amen, and I've been dealing with some things, amen, and I just believe that the Lord wants to encourage someone out there today, hallelujah. Lord, I bless you today, God. I give you praise, I give you glory right now. So as we turn to Romans chapter 8, we're going to read verses 35 through verses 39. Amen. And it reads as such. Glory to God. And I'm going to be reading out of the King James Version. Amen. And it reads as such. Glory to God. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Once again, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Not the love of each other, not the love of money, not the love of things, not the love of houses and land. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us? And that's ringing in my spirit today. Who shall separate us? And when we look at the word separate, amen, we begin to think about being apart. Ah, glory to God. Something that is divided. Hey, yes, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Who shall separate us? Who shall? When you look at that word who, when you begin to look at that word who is not what? Who is dealing with, really, if you want to be honest with you, with it, when you're dealing with the word who, oh, God, I bless you today. Let's look at that. Let's look at that. That's been ringing in my spirit for days. Who shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of God? So when we look at that word who, it's a pronoun. It's possessive. It means what person? Who? That's what the Apostle Paul is asking us today. What person or what persons? He didn't say what, but later on it's going to come now to a what. But right now he's opening up with that scripture and he said, who shall, ah, God, I bless you today, who shall separate us? What are you saying, Sister Menard? Who's going to cause us to be removed from God? Who's going to cause us to be apart from God? Who's going to divide us? Who's going to devour us? When you begin to think about the word separate, amen, a person will go to any extreme, amen, if they're jealous, if they're envious, amen, if it's something about you that they don't like, they'll go to any extreme to cause you some discomfort. Amen. But let's finish reading this text. It says, who shall separate us from the love, not the love of money, not the love of your wife, not the love of your husband, not the love of your children, but the love of Christ? Then the Apostle Paul say, shall tribulation? What is that word, tribulation? The dictionary says trouble. Not only trouble, it has an adjective in front of trouble. It says grievous trouble. Oh, when something is grieving you, amen, you're being tormented. You're thinking about that thing day and night. So the Apostle Paul said, shall tribulation. Tribulation is also a severe trial. Something that is going to cause you some discomfort, as I said earlier. It's going to cause you to suffer. Amen. It's going to bring again some trouble in your life. It's going to bring some affliction. So the Apostle Paul is saying, who shall, oh God, I bless you today, who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Are you going to let some trouble, some chaos, some severe trial, some suffering, some affliction, are you going to let that separate you? Who? He asking you again, what persons are you going to allow to inflict this kind of pain upon you? What person are you going to allow to cause you to be separated from the love of Christ? We have a love of many things today. Some have a love for horses. Some have a love for pets. They say a dog is a man's best friend. We have people that love their animals and love their pets, and they can't stand people. I beg to differ with you today. Hallelujah. You have to have a love for people. You have to have a love for the things of God. Who shall separate us? Then Paul began to say, shall distress
God is taking this thing a little bit further. Distress, when we look at that word distress, my dictionary says great pain, anxiety, sorrow. It also says acute physical or mental suffering. Amen. So some of us have some physical ailments that may cause us to be separated from the love of God. Some of us have some mental issues. We got some things in our mind that's not of God. We allow, seducing spirits. We allow people that are backbiters and gossipers to come and bring distress upon us. How you say they're doing that, Sister Bernard? The very fact that they can come to you and share with you something foul and something nasty and something ugly about your brother and sister in Christ. Even about your pastor, even about your leader. You shouldn't let nobody come and tell you anything about the person that God, hallelujah, have given to you as a shepherd. Paul said, the apostle Paul said, shall distress. Amen. Again, you're talking about suffering. You're talking about affliction. You're talking about trouble, tribulation, and distress. That's what it is. Amen. It's a state of extreme misfortune, extreme pain and suffering. It's trouble. It's danger. Amen. It's even a liability. Amen. So if you have any of these things in your life today, I'm here to tell you the Lord's saying, don't let it separate you from his love. Get rid of it. No more shy. Get rid of anything that's causing you these kinds of attributes, that they're causing you distress, they're causing you trouble, they're causing you to suffer, they're causing you to be afflicted. Amen. Today you can talk to that enemy and you can say, not no more. I'm not going to let nothing, no one and nothing separate me from the love of God. What are you saying, Sister Bernard? I paid a price. God. Yes, I've suffered some things. Yes, I have been in a place where trouble was on every side. But I held on to Jesus. I stand in the presence of the saints of God. What you saying, Sister Bernard? My Bible tells me that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I thank God that I've always had a man in my life. I've always had a pastor. After I got saved, and God filled me up with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, I submitted myself. What are you saying, Sister Bernard? 4 years I've been ministering solo. Hallelujah. But 27 of those years, I submitted myself. Glory, I submitted myself. And even in the full 31 years, I've always had a man of God that I can call on. Everywhere I went, amen, I was able to leave with a good report. What are you saying, Sister Bernard? I'm not boasting in me, but I'm boasting in the Christ that I serve. I'm boasting in the God that I serve. Who shall? I didn't let nothing and no one separate me from the love of God. Amen. The Bible tells me in Galatians 6 and 10, it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Then it goes on to say, especially to the household of faith. Evangelist Campbell, Minister Banks, and Minister Tramiel, Mother Charity, hallelujah, you got to stay connected. You can't let nothing and no one separate you from the love of God. The Bible says that jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Some people are get into your life, come into your life to get connected to you. Amen. But they have a hidden agenda. Oh, they're not there for the right purpose. They're not there with the right motives. But the apostle said, who shall separate us? Let's go back to the text. He said, what? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Then he says, or persecution. Remember, in some of the, glory to God, or persecution. What are you saying? Amen. Persecute. Hallelujah. Persecution. What is that? That is to harass. God Almighty. That is to harass. That is to annoy. That is to be persistent. Amen. And making somebody feel discomfort. Persecution. Glory to God. When you look at some of these hideous crimes that comes on the news, glory to God, and then we watch movies and we see where people are persecuted. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, he was persecuted for righteousness' sake. My Bible tell me he knew no guile. Amen, but he suffered as an evildoer. Hallelujah. He suffered as one that was unrighteous. But my Bible say he knew no sin. Oh, glory. He took on our sins. Glory to God. There's nobody that has suffered like Jesus. There's nobody that has gone through the things that he went through for us. He died on the cross. But what I love about God, hallelujah, he said, even what I love about Jesus, he said, no man take my life, I lay it down. Amen. But because of this cause, he came into the earth. He came into the world. Amen. If Jesus didn't die for our sins, amen, we wouldn't even have a right. Glory to God. We wouldn't even be able to go through what we go through. But he came. He said, I humbled myself. Glory to God. And I came as a servant. He didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God, but he humbled himself and came in the form of a servant. How many of us are coming in the form of a servant? Glory to God. How many of us, when the Lord speaks to us and give us a vision and give us a dream and let us know that he have a calling on our lives. Amen. How many are willing to study to show thyself approved? How many seek God for their calling? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Just because you have a calling on your life and God deals with your dreams and visions, it's not time for you to launch. You got to wait on God. In Isaiah 40:31, he said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Many times we want to go. Sometimes and we're zealous, and sometimes we have an auction to go, but it may not be time. Glory to God. Solomon said there's a time and a season for all things. There's a purpose for everything. We have to wait on God. Who shall separate us? Then Paul said, after the persecution, he said, glory to God, back to the text, shall famine? What is famine? You may be in a place today, well, you don't have no need for anything. Amen. But I'm reminded that the famine is in the land. It may not be at your house today, but if it's in the land, sooner or later, it's going to circulate to your house. So you might have everything clicking today, but when the famine comes in the land, you better remind yourself of Joseph. You better remind yourself of Jacob and his children. Remind yourself of the 12 sons of Jacob. Glory to God. It was 12 sons of Jacob. Amen. But God allowed the 10 to throw him in, the 9, to throw him in a pit. They didn't know what they they were doing. They didn't know that if this everything that happened to Joseph was destined, people. Everything that you're going through, it was destined, amen. Because Jesus said in his word, if you suffer with me, one day you're going to reign with me. But see, we don't want to suffer. So if you refuse to suffer, if you don't want to suffer nothing, then guess what? Don't expect to see it in the kingdom. You will not reign with God without suffering. He said, those that suffer persecution, amen, they are the ones, hallelujah, that I'm going to put my stamp of approval on. Oh, glory to God. They didn't know what they were doing. Amen. And you can't share your vision. You can't share your dream with everybody. You have to discern. You have to ask God for a discernment. Ask God to show you. Hey, God, show me, God, who is real and who is phony. Show me who my friends are. And when it all boils down, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Because my Bible tells me a friend, a friend love it at all times. Not just when you're doing good, but if you're a friend, you're going to love me when things turn bad. You're going to love me when I'm up and when I'm down. You're going to love me at my low point, and you're going to love me at my high point. That's what a friend do. Amen. A friend, Jesus said, will stick by you closer than a brother. What are you saying, Sister Bernard, today? The Lord put that in my spirit. He said, who shall separate you? God, I'm not going to let nothing and no one separate me from the love of God. I'm going to stay close to the saints. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to stay connected to people that I know can get a prayer through. I'm going to stay connected to people that I know are abiding in the vine. I'm going to stay connected to people that I know are living holy. I don't have to be in their house. I don't have to follow them everywhere they go. I don't have to talk on the phone with them every day. But my Bible told me to know them that labor among me. Oh, glory. You might fool me once. You might fool me twice. But the God I serve, he ain't going to let you fool me twice. Hey, glory to God. He won't let me. Oh, God. He won't let you fool me three times, baby. Amen. So you got two chances with me. And the third chance, God going to show me who you are. Glory to God. Why? Because I seek him with my whole heart. I live a life. I live a life to please God, not man. God, if you say something good about me, thank you. I appreciate it. But my life is hidden in God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? When the famine came in the land, Joseph was made governor over the land of Egypt. Amen. And Jacob had to send his sons down there. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. Get into the Bible and read it for yourself. But those of you that know it, they had to go down to Egypt because there was a famine in the land. Don't you think, because you have a good job, don't you think, because your family ain't in need of nothing, don't you think, because you living in a nice home, driving a nice car, wearing the finest clothes, able to go to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, don't you ever think, when the famine is in the land, every household gonna suffer, every household gonna feel this thing, baby. Amen. If you ain't anchored in Christ Jesus, you gonna slowly, you gonna drift away. He said, shall famine, glory to God, and we all know what that word is. Then he said, nakedness. Glory to God, is nakedness. Glory, being without clothing. Again, that's just like a famine. When the famine is in the land, Amen. Sometimes you may not have apparel to wear because you may have to sell your apparel to buy you some food. Oh, glory, you may have to take the mark of the beast. Some nakedness, being without clothing, being without a covering. Let's dwell on that. Let's talk right there for a second. Amen. If you don't have a covering, if you're not serving and you're not submissive to any man or any woman, glory to God, I beg of you today, you need a covering. You can't go out ministering this word and you're not covered. Amen. God, Jesus is the shepherd of our soul. He's also the lifter of our souls. Amen. And God will direct you. He will give you a shepherd. God. But you know what they're saying today? You don't need to assemble. But my Bible says, fail not to assemble the assembling of yourselves. You better assemble in some place. Amen, amen. Looking on the internet and staying at home, hearing the preacher preach on the radio broadcast and hearing the preacher preach on the internet, that's not going to save you. Oh, glory to God. He said, fail not to assemble yourselves. Hallelujah. He said, my sheep, they know my voice. I have given them a shepherd. That's what the Lord said. In Jeremiah, he said, I will give you pastors according to mine own heart that shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Amen. The internet pastor is not your pastor. You better get somebody that will know your family. You better get somebody that will know your children. And when calamity strikes, when trouble knocks at your door, you can take the telephone out and call a man of God and say, hey, my son is in trouble. My daughter needs help. My husband is sick. My wife is sick. But if you don't have a covering, if you don't have nobody watching for your soul, you're in a bad state, baby. Who shall separate you? Glory to God. God gave me this today. It's been ringing in my spirit. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Then Paul said, peril. What is peril? Hallelujah. Peril is in when you is exposed to injury, when you're exposed to loss, when you're exposed, hallelujah, to some grave risk, when your life is in danger. Hallelujah. When somebody, hallelujah, jeopardizing your freedom. Glory to God. You got to look at this thing. Amen. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Hallelujah. I bless the Lord today. Glory to God. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Let's finish with this text. We're going to go on down to verse 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And I'm going to be through. I'm just giving you what the Lord gave me today. And I don't know who this word is for today, but guess what? My spirit was heavy today. My heart is heavy today because I lost one of my cousins. I lost a woman that is an assistant pastor, that is an evangelist, that is a minister, that has been blazing the trail. I've been in holiness a long time. Oh, glory to God, but nevertheless, I know to be absent with the body, from the body is to be present with the Lord. But nevertheless, our hearts is heavy. She left a son and a daughter in the earth. They're adults, young adults. She left Messiah, some sisters and brothers. She left her husband in the earth. Amen. She left a church family in the earth. Nieces and nephews. Hallelujah. No grandchildren, but nieces and nephews and extended family members. So next week we got to go down to Montgomery. I was planning to go down there anyway to Bishop, one of my former pastors, Apostle Lewis, Leo Lewis, out of Montgomery, Alabama. He's the one that was here marching, did my installation, was going down there to his holy convocation. Did not know that a day or so later that I would have to be there, amen, for a homegoing celebration. But I'm sharing with you today, who shall separate us? I didn't feel like doing this today, but something on the inside was compelling me. Something on the inside said, you got to go on here. You got to say what I have given you to speak today. Hey, glory to God. I wasn't even scared. Didn't have nobody scheduled. Didn't know how the day was going to unfold. But the Lord said, this is what I want you to speak to the audience on today. And he took me to Romans chapter 8. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril? And this last one is said, or sword. God, don't let the sword be at your house today, God. When the sword comes, the sword represents death. The sword represents destruction. The sword represents division. He's bringing a sword to divide. Don't let nobody divide you. Don't let nobody separate you from the saints. Don't let nobody separate you from the prayer warriors. Don't let nobody separate you from the leaders that are fasting and praying on your behalf. Don't let nobody separate you from your covering. Hey, glory to God. Verse 36, we're going to finish on up here. And I'm going to let y'all go. Glory to God. Because something on the inside is crying out, God. I'm not going to let nothing separate me. Lord, died in the Lord. She died trusting and believing in God. She said, Lord, I know you to be a healer. But she said, if you don't heal me, I still know you're able. Hallelujah. She went out. Hallelujah. As a saint. Therefore, there's laid up for her a crown of righteousness. Oh, glory to God. But don't let nobody separate you. Hallelujah. For to live is Christ and to die is gain. Glory to God. We're at 36. We're at Romans chapter 8 for those of you that tuned in late. Romans chapter 8. Now we're at verse 36. The Apostle Paul said, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. What are you saying, Sister Beloved? What are you saying, Apostle Paul? All day the enemy is aiming at us. All day we have to run for our life. Every day, all day. Because he's trying to get something on us. The Bible says he's going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. So for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's what they do. We're sheep. And they get sheep ready to be slaughtered. They get the sheep ready. That's the Messiah. Hallelujah. Because we just don't have what it takes. Amen. We have to have a shepherd. That's why God Jesus said, my sheep, they know my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. Jesus is the great shepherd. That's why you need a shepherd. I don't care what your position is. He said in the fivefold, he said, I gave gifts unto men. He said, I gave some apostles. I gave some prophets. And it's mighty funny. Then he said, I gave some evangelists. Then he gave the pastors. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Then he gave the teachers. Isn't that something? Our order is not God's order. Our order is not God's order. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall, God, who shall separate us? That's what God told me to ask you all today. Is anybody going through anything? Hallelujah. If you're not going through anything, amen, you better try to position yourself see God. Glory to God. Let's look at this. Turn there right quick. You don't have to turn. I'll read it for you. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave some apostles. This is the fivefold ministry. God didn't just put these gifts in the body for naught. He said, I gave some apostles and some prophets. And listen, because we don't esteem the evangelists. You know, we take the evangelists for granted. But look at this order in Ephesians 4:11. He said he gave the evangelists before the pastors and the teachers. Uh-huh. The evangelist is right next to the apostle, right next to the prophets. The apostle is first. And he gave some, this is not my Bible, this is the Holy Bible. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What are you saying, Sister Bernard? Who shall separate us? Hallelujah. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Who shall separate us? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What did he give these for? What did he give them for? Hallelujah. What did he give them for, people of God? He said for the perfecting. Listen, for the perfecting of the saints. So if you want to be perfected, that means the fivefold ministry has to be evident in your life. They have to be positioned in your life. Y'all don't want to hear that today, but guess what? This is something I didn't create. I had no idea of how the Lord was going to use me today. Matter of fact, to be honest with you, I didn't want to be used. I could have easily posted on Facebook, no show today. It's been canceled. Easily, you know why? Because this flesh was weak. But my Bible tells me, when the flesh is weak, it's always willing. So even though I'm going through because I'm grieving for the loss of a family member, the spirit man had to persevere. The spirit man had to be diligent in this assignment. This is an assignment on my life. If I don't see nobody on this line, if nobody was on the line but me, I was going to preach what God gave me to preach today. Because if I decided not to do it, then guess what? I'm bringing harm into my life, and not only my life, my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. When you fail to do what God has assigned you to do, you jeopardize. Glory to God. You bring famine to your household. You bring distress to your household. You bring persecution. You bring peril. You bring the sword. Glory. You bring tribulation. Anytime you fail to do what God tells you to do, that's what's coming up on you. He said the curse of the Lord is at the house of the wicked. So when you fail to obey God, then you're walking in disobedience. Glory to God. But I brought that scripture in to let you know that he said he gave this fivefold ministry, and always be mindful. The evangelists walk in the authority of God. Don't you ever slight the evangelists. Because, see, the evangelist is coming in the city, and the evangelist is coming in your church. The evangelist is coming in your house, and they're going to speak only what the Lord tell them to speak. Because guess what? An evangelist is a person that travel. An evangelist is a person that go and assist the apostle, assist the prophets, assist the pastors, assist the teachers. That's what the evangelists do. You don't need to consult with me. You don't need to tell me. Glory to God, not bless the Lord. Because guess what? Every house is different. Oh, glory to God. But every house, amen, should be set aside for the purpose of glorifying and magnifying our Lord and Savior. Amen. He said, my house, Jesus said, my God said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. So that house of prayer has already been sanctified. It's already purified. God said, my presence will always dwell there. My name alone is there. Amen. So when I go on a speaking engagement, and it's to a church, amen, it's to a conference or convocation, whatever it is, I consult God. Because one thing about it, God knows who's in the midst. God already knows who's in the midst. Glory to God. He knows everybody in that congregation. There's nothing hidden from him. And even on this radio broadcast, I don't know from day to day who's coming on the line. Some of y'all I may not see for weeks, months. Some people pop in, I ain't seen them in a year. It's all right. It's all right. Because I like it like that. You know why? Because guess what? Can't nobody say I'm throwing off on them. I'm giving you what God has gave me today. And he told me to turn to Romans 8, 35-39, and read this in your hearing today. Glory to God. Who shall separate us? Who? Remember, sometimes we think things are separating us, and it may be people. Ah, glory to God. You ain't looking at the person. You ain't discerning the person. You just say, oh, I ain't going to go out to no club today. I don't smoke no more. I don't drink no more. But the Apostle Paul said, who shall separate you from the love of God? All right, let's finish. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day and the long. I just had to bring that scripture in as the Lord gave me that. Wait a minute. Let's go back there again. I forgot to finish that in Ephesians chapter 4. He said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. Remember these evangelist people. Remember the evangelists. They're important. And some, we just look at the prophets. We want a prophecy. But the evangelist is equipped to do all of that. Yes, Lord. I don't know if you know it, but they're already equipped. That's why God has assigned them. He put the evangelist right after the prophet. And he said it's for what? Verse 12 said, for what? For the perfecting of the saints. There, the fivefold ministry is there to perfect us. For what? For the work, not of ourselves, not for Sister Bernard. Not for Evangelist Bernard, not for Pastor Bernard, not for Adrian, but for the work of the ministry. What is the ministry? The ministry is fulfilling the whole law, the whole word of God. That's your ministry. Amen. Your ministry is to feed the poor. Your ministry is to visit the sick. Your ministry is to pray for one another. Your ministry is to love without dissimulation. Your ministry is to walk circumspectly. Your ministry is to be blessed. Your ministry is to live holy. Your ministry is to walk in the profession. Ah, glory to God. He says for the work of the ministry, for what? For the edifying. If we can't edify the body of Christ, then our work is in vain. He said, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity, we have to unite. Our faith has to be united. Unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto what? A perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I ain't going any further. I'm going back, and I'm going to close on these last three verses because that's what God gave me, and I'm not going any further. Ah, glory to God. I can't go any further. We're back at 36. Ah, no, we're going to go on. We said we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We are 37. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. 37 say, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. What are you saying, Sister Benoit? He said, nay. What are you talking about? Nay. Not only, hallelujah, but, there's a but. That nay is just like a but. It's just like a not only. Uh-huh. Indeed. Uh-huh. Nay, hey, you no more see. Not only, but, oh, glory to God, hallelujah, in all these things, what he's saying, in all of the above that we talked about separating us from the love of God, he said, in all those things above, we are more than conquerors. What are you saying, Sister Bernard? We're more than conquerors. What is a conqueror? Hallelujah. Let's look at that. We are more than conquerors. We pronounce these things, and then, hallelujah, we don't know what it really is saying. And that's why we're living defeated lives. Conqueror. One that says, the Bible says, a person who conquers. A person who conquers. Okay, what are you talking about, conquer? I'm more than a conqueror. It's a person, the Bible, the dictionary say, excuse me, to acquire by force of arms, to overcome by force. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffered violence, but the violent, see, you got to get violent. Ah, glory to God. You know when someone come in your home to violate, he said, the Bible said, when you bind a strong man, you can take his goods. Ah, glory to God. When you bind a strong man, look at Delilah. Hallelujah. How she aggravated and agitated Samson until she found out what was his secret. Where did he get his strength? Where did his strength lie? Amen. She kept on until she conquered him. She kept on till she was able to overcome everything that God had commanded Samson. His mama even told him, say, Samson, don't ever tell nobody where your strength lies. Oh, but that's when we fall prey. Ah, hallelujah. That's when we give in to the lust of this flesh. And Samson, the Bible said, he loved Delilah, and he tricked her two or three times. But finally, she wore on him. And that's what we got to do. We got to keep, hey, glory to God. We got to keep on, hallelujah, overcoming. We got to keep on being forceful. We got to win. By any means necessary, we have to be victorious in Christ Jesus. She kept on weighing on Samson. And finally, one day he couldn't take anymore. Woo, one day that woman laid on his chest. Hallelujah. And his heart just melted. And he began to pour out and shared with the Lord. Y'all better watch these Delilah spirits. Who shall separate you? I don't know why the Lord went there. Hallelujah. Who shall separate you? And then, guess what? Samson revealed everything. He revealed everything, and you all know the story. He lost his strength. His strength was not only in his hair on his head, but his strength was in his obedience. When he failed to obey, the instructions that God had given his parents and his parents gave him, then guess what? He became vulnerable. That's what we're doing. We're becoming vulnerable. Guess what? Because we're getting away from the instructions. We're failing God in the area of obedience. We're looking at our friends. We're looking at our neighbors. We're looking at our children. Amen. Don't let none of them cause you to be separated from the love of God. And when Samson did that, you know the story. But what I love about it, God granted Samson his dying request. In the midst of that, after they had gouged out his eyes, Samson prayed to the Lord for strength. He said, Lord, and I'm paraphrasing right now, don't let me go out like this. He said, Lord, give me strength to avenge the Philistines, the Philistines of my eyes. And the Bible said Samson killed more men in his death than he did in his lifetime. More, because why? God honored it. God honored it. God didn't want Samson to go out like that. But when you fail to obey God, the enemy sets up a trap for you. He sets up a trap for you. So let's close. Lord, I thank you, because God knows you had to speak today. I didn't have nothing but the scripture. Hallelujah. And I had the definitions here on the computer, going to the definition as the Holy Ghost began to speak. He said, man, all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. You got to be persuaded. If you going to love God, if you going to do God's will, if you going to follow his instructions, if you going to be obedient to God and not man, guess what? You have to first be persuaded. For I am persuaded, Paul said, that neither death, nobody's death, nor life, nobody life, nor angels, I don't care if you entertain a stranger, not an angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nothing that you're going through right now, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us. I want y'all to get personal today. Nothing shall be able to separate me. Point at yourself and say, me. Shall be able to separate me from what? From the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can come lay $1 million at my feet today. I'm going to love God. I'm going to give my tithes and my offerings. I'm going to bless the people of God. Amen. And I'm going to do what the Lord has spoken my spirit to do. Hey, glory to God. I ain't going on no one-night stands, baby. I'm not going drinking champagne and banqueting and rioting. No, no, no. When you land at my feet, it's going to be for the master's use. Oh, glory to God. It's going to be, no Messiah. Hallelujah. For the work of the ministry. Amen. To edify. Hallelujah. To edify God's people. Not my people, but God's people. You all are chosen generation. You all are heirs and joint heirs. Don't let nothing, don't let no one separate you from the love of Christ. Remember this scripture. Begin to memorize it. Memorize it. Say, who, when the devil come upon you, when the enemy come upon you to eat up your flesh, to cause you to fall, you remember, say, I will let nothing separate me. You ain't going to get me like that, baby. You got to come with something better than that. You can't tempt me with no man. You can't tempt me with no drugs. You can't tempt me with no alcohol. You can't tempt me with no cigarettes. You can't tempt me with a Michael Kors bag. You can't tempt me with a Gucci bag. You can't tempt me with a Mercedes Benz. You can't tempt me in the gated community. You can't tempt me with none of that. Because guess what? My life is hidden in Christ Jesus. All right, Auntie. My life is hidden in Christ Jesus. So nobody, don't let nothing and no one I have two grandbabies here, and I got the clothes. Amen. He's looking at me crazy. Granny, what you doing? That's my great-grandbaby. AJ, hallelujah. I'm closing on that note. I'm closing on that note. Remember, God deals through, hallelujah, his people, through his servants. Hallelujah. We are servants. Hallelujah. We working for the Lord. We're employed by the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. We have no need to worry. We have no need to fret. Our lives are hidden in Christ Jesus. They're hidden in Christ. Glory to God. I'm done. Glory to God. Who shall separate you? The question. Hallelujah. You need to get the answers to today. Amen. I'm done. I'm opening up the lines. God bless you all. See a few callers on the line. Hey, Minister Bankston, God bless you. Ah, God, I love you today, Jesus. Your line is open. If you want to comment on the message, you're welcome to do so. Minister Bankston. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Maybe he's driving. He's not able to say anything. Hallelujah. Your line is open. Amen. I'm going to Minister Tamil going down the line, and then Evangelist Doris, Evangelist T, and then I see Bishop Lot. Ah, God, I bless you today. Minister Tramiel, God bless you, woman of God. Hey, you know what I'm going to say? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Ah, Minister Bankston, Minister Tramiel, your line is open. Hallelujah. All right, Minister Evangelist Doris. God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. You are so on fire.
Yeah.
I can feel you. Thank you so much. I'm always blessed to listen to you. God bless you, woman of God. I really appreciate the word. You really brought the word down today. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you, Evangelist Doris. I tell you, hallelujah, these are women of God that I met in California. Do you know God have people everywhere? God said in his word, he said he'll never be left without a witness. God always have a witness in the earth. Oh, God, I'm so glad I've been in a home, her and her husband, just beautiful people. And I tell you, they have a thirst and a hunger after righteousness. Ah, glory to God. He said, if you're hungry and thirsty after righteousness, you're going to be filled. Amen. God bless you. Love you, Evangelist Doris. Amen. Evangelist T, Minister Tramiel, your line's open. Ah, glory to God. Hey, what about you? Lord, I love you today. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. All right, Evangelist T.
Oh, she's on. Praise the Lord.
Praise him.
Praise the Lord.
I see your number twice. I hope I ain't cutting you off.
No, you're not. It's just on that.
All right.
God bless you. Father, I just thank the Lord for the message for today. To God be the glory for all the wonderful things he's done and is doing. And I just praise God because you spoke on some things that I was actually dealing with at the very same moment. So I just honor God today for the word of God. I have my friend Victor. He also listening on the message. If you don't mind, he would like to come in at the time.
How you doing, man? I just say I'm blessed. I heard the word, and I tell you, I was scared today. The Bible said, you who water will also be watered yourself. And I had a lot of things going for me, I thought, until you started speaking. I tell you, I'm filled today. I was waiting on a word, and it came through you. What can separate from the Lord God? And I just felt so good because I knew that God, I would hear from him. But I had to come out of the natural man. That's right. And you are truly a blessing, and it is nice to meet you, I tell you.
My God, thank you, man of God. Thank you for being able to listen in with Evangelist T. Evangelist T is a soul winner. Amen. She don't care where she's at. Amen. She'll open up her line and let somebody hear this word
on the West Coast at the 1 o'clock hour. So God bless you, man of God. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Give him that number.
You can tune in again. That's right. And she got beautiful feet. Every time you come, I say, how beautiful are your feet? She always got Jesus on her mind. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
All right. Yes,
like,
she does.
Like meeting you, keep the word out because this is a valley and it's full of dry bones. But we're going to bring them together. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. Thank you, Evangelist T. Amen.
That's right.
All right. Bishop Lott, God bless you.
God bless you, woman of God. You know, the sister said it, but she didn't say it right. Fire! Fire! Oh, my God. All I could sense,
Woo, all I could hear,
all I could feel in the very essence of my spirit was fire.
Hallelujah.
Because see, it's time. Time is out for all this prosperity preaching, and the church is starving to death while leaders is riding around and living good and living high off the hog. I had an apostle call me today. He said, "Brother, there's a mountain in your city." I said, "Yes. What about it?" He says, "Called the Grand Mountain." I said, "Well, what about the Grand Mountain?" He said, "Brother, there's a telescope on the top of it. Do you know the name of the telescope?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "The name of the telescope is Lucifer." I said, "What did you say?" Lucifer. Then he said, "Guess who owns it?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "The Vatican."
Wow.
We have got to understand there was a diabolical plot of Satan trying to separate the people, the true people of God, the unknowing, the innocent, the blind, the immature people of God away from God. And this is why Paul went down the list that he did. And as I listened to you speak, see, what you were doing was turning the pages of your mind and your life through all the tests that the enemy has offered you.
He
began to declare and decree how God has broken every chain, defeated every approach, every presentation, every offering, everything that Satan has offered you. Jesus said, "I freed her. God and glory. Thank you, Jesus." And the reason why the reason why I can shout with you, because God is doing something in my life on that same level. I'm not out of it yet. Come June 28th, it'll be all over. And I'm going to stand flat-footed and tell the world some things that the church has got to stop doing. It's time out for this regular church as usual and people coming into church and going out to church with the same problems and the same issues. No, that's not the Jesus we serve. And so I encourage you, like I told you, if I hit tell that you quit, I'm going to go find me a Holy Ghost house brick and run. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because when God puts a word in your mouth, it is always an on-time word.
It was God. Flesh was fighting. I didn't want to come on here today. I was gonna cancel this broadcast. The Spirit said, "You need to minister this word today," and I'm strengthened.
I thank God He had you preach that word, because sometimes He has to remind you or remind me from sometimes where He has brought us from.
We have to
go back to the first day we got saved. And think about the goodness of God to such a degree that you find yourself. I was in my bishop's training class today, and the Holy Spirit just hit me, and tears just started running down my face, because all I could think, I couldn't get it out of my mouth. I couldn't find a word that would express how grateful I was to God. But in my spirit, hey, I'm grateful, but the word grateful didn't have enough behind it. And the only thing, the only way I could express it was to just allow the tears to run down my face, not to say a word to God, but to let him know, I'm grateful. I'm grateful he saved me. And I share this with you, woman of God. I'm noticing how every time I'm going through, I find out you're going through something.
Yeah.
And in my spirit, I just begin to pray.
Jesus.
I just lift your name up before the Lord.
Because
I'm not saying it for accolades. I'm not saying it to try to draw attention to myself. I'm just trying to draw the attention of God. I just want God. All I want is God. I don't want nothing else. I don't need nothing. I want God.
Hallelujah.
And I just encourage you today, every time you run from the pulpit, every time you run from the microphone, that's when God said, now open your mouth.
Jesus.
Because I know what it means to feel like none of me, it's just all of you, God. None of me. I don't want nothing. Sometimes people don't get this. How about just wanting God? Forget about all the problems. Forget about all the situations. Forget about all the things. Because I hear people say, there's so much going on. That's just Satan. He's doing what God allowed him to do. But God, when are we going to get back to just immersing ourselves in God? When are we going to get back to the place where we're just lost in God, to where we run out of words, we can't find nothing but sounds come out of our mouth. Then all of a sudden we get to a place where it's nothing but silence, and the glory of God is just manifest to the degree that when you come out, something in you has changed. You don't know what it is. You don't know how you did it. All you know, something has changed. God. The church is being duped. The church is being taken advantage of. When I was in college, I learned something about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. The scribes were the people that wrote the laws of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But the Sadducees were rich people that moved into the leadership that was supposed to be only qualified for the Aaronic priesthood, but they bought their way in. Same thing we're seeing right now today. People with money are controlling what's going on, and God is allowing it. So people can get so hungry that they lay aside everything for God. But they just get to a place to where they're so desperate, they're so disillusioned, they're so weighted, they're so heavy, they're so beaten down, they're so battered, they're so bruised that they forget about, I don't care how many bills are. If you put me out of my house, where's God? If you take my job, where's God? If you take everything and all I got is life and nothing but a pot to pee in, where's God?
Come on, lift yourself away.
That word is on time. It's right on time because people are suffering, people are hurting, and people are preaching this watered down mess called whatever they want to call it. It ain't the gospel. How the heck is the gospel? People still hurting. When Jesus preached the gospel, people got healed, delivered, and set free. People got the church had all things in common when Jesus preached. So I thank God for you today, woman of God. I really do. It just reminded me the place where God has you right now, the place where he has me, people got to get to this place. Nothing and nobody but Jesus. Jesus, and no Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Nobody but Jesus. Jesus, and more Jesus. And some more Jesus after that. And then when you get tired of that amount of Jesus, go get you some more Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless your name.
So you just keep preaching, woman of God. You just keep teaching. You just keep exposing the truth to these people who are eating gruel. The world is feeding people garbage. It's called a lie. That's garbage.
Yeah.
The only thing that man can live by is the divine truth of God. That's what the gospel is, the absolute, unadulterated, clean, uninhibited truth that changes entire homes and changes entire countries, changes entire societies. But we got a demonic presence in the earth right now. Half the people, now, they so sleep, they don't even know it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. So I thank God. It blessed my heart today.
Well, I thank God for you being on. You're saying you gave me strength to keep on. You know, I like scheduling folks. I really don't like scheduling people. I be going, so I say, Lord, I can't do this, I can't do that, running last minute, doing things, you know, but the Lord put this in my heart today. I'm serious. It was nothing but the Lord. I didn't know he was going to be online today, but I just felt the heaviness. But God said, no, this is the word. I need you to speak it today. And I said, yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus.
I have no other choice because guess what? I let folks get it. You can be angry with me, but I don't want God to be angry. Hey, glory.
I don't care. I'm going to tell you what my mama used to say. If you're mad, scratch your behind and get glad. I don't care about nobody being mad with me.
Well, thank you, Bishop Locke. We got to go. Good man. I love you and appreciate you. We're praying for you, too. Minister Tremendo. Amen. Minister Priscilla, your line's open. Minister Bankson, amen. If not, we're going to close on out. Amen. I'm going to ask Bishop Lott. I have the lines open, so nobody. Yes, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank
amen.
You,
well, we're going to go to Bishop Lott. I'm going to ask Bishop Lott to pray for the family of my cousin, assistant pastor, Lord, Bosley and the Glover family there in Montgomery, Alabama. Pray for those that are traveling now for next week for her homegoing celebration. And also just pray, special prayer for my grandson still dealing with a situation with him. So I'm going to ask Bishop Lott if he can pray and close this out with him in the prayer.
Hallelujah.
Bishop Lott.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your great grace and great mercy. God, your word is always the medicine by which our soul needs to be fed. Lord God, you know the needs that were declared and decreed today, Father. Because you are a way maker, you are a need meter, you are a mind regulator, you are a heart fixer, you are a home sustainer, you are a family keeper, you are an issue solver, you are problem answered. You are a prayer answer. You are the source of all things. You are the father of all things. You are the creator of all things. Lord, you said, let there be light one time, and light has continued to answer you even upon the eons. So, Lord, let our hearts and our prayers be a vehicle that you use the power to answer. We learned the principle of sowing and reaping today, and we understood that throughout sowing, there has to be a principle of reaping. So when the people of God sow in a concern, sow in a prayer, sow in an issue, sow in a cry, sow in a heartfelt issue, you send the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man.
They avail
much. So the sowing and reaping principle is true. You are a God of principle. You are a God of order. You are a God of truth. You are a God of righteousness. You are a God of love. You are a God of faithfulness. You are a covenant-keeping God. And today, God, we thank you for keeping your word. We thank you that you hasten to perform your word. Today, Father, every need, every need of this family, let it be so according to your word, God. Let it be an amen according to your word. Let it be written, so let it be done. As it is written in your word, it shall be done into the earth, O God. Today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I lift up the woman of God before you, your daughter and your child, your vessel meat fit for the master's use, just as she has poured out today, God. God, I ask you out of the spirit of lowliness and out of a spirit of reverence towards you on my sister's behalf, God. God, today I ask you to touch like never before. Breathe upon the woman of God. Hallelujah, Lord. Do something very special today because your daughter preached a special word to the special hearts and minds, to the suffering, to the broken, to the battered, to the bruised, to the lost, to the confused, to those who don't even know but have been searching for an answer. God, you placed an answer into the atmosphere today through the words of her mouth, through the expressions of her heart, through her reverence towards you. You spoke unto your people medicine, healing, restoration, strength, peace, power, love, unity, understanding, results, provision. God, you spoke by your Spirit, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And today, Father, I just ask, God, there's a need in her heart. You know what she spoke within the last week to you. Now, God, I ask on her behalf. I ask, oh, God, that you would answer in a miraculous way, God. God, you are miracle working God. You are God of signs and wonders. You are God of authority and dominion and might and power. Now, God, I touch and agree with my sister today. That concern, that issue that she placed at the throne of your feet within the last 7 days, God, I ask you, on behalf of your word, on behalf of your promises, on behalf of your authority, be a God that answers this prayer even now, Father God. Use somebody that no one would ever know. Use the situation and the circumstances to let people know in your sovereignty and in your supremacy that you would do what you said you would do according to your promises. Even now, Father, I believe your word, and we thank you, Father, for it right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. I want to leave you with this thought today, woman of God.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus. I found out something about faith, and I found out something about action, and I found out something that bridges faith with action. The scripture says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God and you have patiently endured, you shall receive the promise. See, if the devil can get your mind off of your confidence, then he can affect your faith, because then you won't take action. Confidence is the fruit of faith, the proof of action. I'm going to say that again. Confidence is the fruit of faith and the proof of action. Because when you take action, there's a confidence in it. May not be in ourselves. It might have to be a confidence in God. But it is a confidence, because when you have confidence, you take action. When you don't have confidence, your feet won't move. Your mind won't move. Your imagination won't move. Your thoughts won't move. Your emotions won't move, because you've been under arrest, because fear has you in a place of non-movement. I don't care who it is. I'm talking to somebody today. But I thank God. Because the more you have confidence in God, the greater your faith. Because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. But guess what? When you have faith, it pleases God, and it releases his promises because he's pleased. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And so today I just want to thank God for you. I heard so much confidence. That was what the fire was the confidence in God. It had nothing to do with all the years you walked with God. You just have gotten to a place where you just believe God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. See, many people talk about, I trust God. Well, we're going to see if you trust God when there ain't nothing to prove that he's there.
All right. Come on now.
When you trust God when they done put you out and you ain't got a nickel and a nail. You ain't got nobody. Everybody done turned their back on you and kicked you to the curb and told you you ain't worth two dead flies on sale on Sunday. Chinese money. Everybody, your best friend, your mama, your sister, everybody done turned their back on you. And when I get in places like that, I've learned, everybody, please turn your back on me so I can look for the face of Jesus.
Look,
please
for his
turn
face.
Your back on
Hallelujah.
Me. Thank
That's
you,
all
Jesus.
Right.
And you've been there many times, woman of God. That's why you God just takes you on automatic sometimes. You will just there'll be an automatic pilot in the Holy Ghost on you so much if they try to stop you, they could cut your lips off. You take a pencil and put it between your toes and write. I'm telling you, I've seen it too many times.
Yes, Lord.
Glory to God. So we thank God for you. You just keep on keeping on, my sister. Hallelujah. Glory. You encouraged me today. Your message spoke to the very essence of my spirit.
Ooh,
hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we bless you.
It's a good day to close
on.
It's a good day.
Amen. Amen. We'll see you back on next week. Remember, Saturday morning, those that's on the East Coast, if you can make the sacrifice, Minister Billy Burns hosts our Saturday segment at 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Eastern time. I know that's 5 o'clock on the West Coast, but if you make the sacrifice, God will bless you. You don't have to stay on a long time, but if you have a testimony that you want to bless the listening audience with, she certainly welcome you to tune in. And remember, early Sunday morning prayer with Prophetess Darlene Davis out of North Carolina also. So God bless you. Next week, mark y'all calendars next Thursday on June the 4th, Prophetess Cheryl Harrison will be speaking for us on next week. Amen. That's next Thursday. Amen. We don't get her on too regular, but when she has the availability, she always come on and bless us. You're talking about a woman of God that has given herself to much fasting and much praying. Amen. And if she says something to you, take it to the bank. It's good as bank, good as gold. Amen. So she'll be ministering for us on next Thursday. Amen. So continue to pray for Bishop Jesse Grant. We have a praise report. He's doing good. Amen. I don't know if he told him yet, but the procedure that he had was a success. So thank all of you all that prayed for Bishop Jesse Grant. Amen. And continue to lift him up and also his family. Amen. So we're going to close on out with Nothing Without You. God bless you. Have a beautiful weekend.
In him do I live more.
Mother Charity? Mother Charity? All right. Well, we're going to close on out with this last
In him do I live, move, and have my without you. Nothing without you. Nothing without you. Nothing without you. I'm nothing but a ship without a sail on, moving aimlessly, tossed to and fro.